Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
Welcome along to the football show. Dan is in studio and Kevin Kilbane. Hello. We will hear from him very shortly about Declan Rice. Apparently he has an interest in that topic.
Yeah, he seems to have spoken about this on occasion.
It's not an exclusive?
No, I think the news is
damn
out
it.
There.
God damn it. All right, so that's coming your way. 53106 is the text number. Live as always on all our social channels. Big night in the Europa League. Last 32 first legs ongoing. Arsenal beaten by Bate.
The only away team that looks to be struggling really tonight. At halftime in the 805s.
Correct.
Six home teams are behind and there was 1-1 draw, I think, if I'm correct.
You are very right. It's a good night for the away teams.
Yeah.
Bad night for the accumulators, I suspect.
Bad night for the tough place to go cliche. That's definitely struggling. Apart from Belarus, which is a tough place to go for Arsenal, although it's not.
What, Dundalk beat Bate by 3-0, was it?
At home, yeah. Oof. I've been to the stadium over there. I mean, it's
what is Borisov like?
Well, no one really stays in Borisov. They stay in Minsk, which is like an hour away. And although I suppose when Bate came to Dublin, the second time they played in Dublin rather than Dundalk.
So Borisov is to Minsk what Dundalk is to Dublin.
Well, actually, Bate were in Dundalk in 2015. So, but anyway, this is a really boring tangent. But it's a nice stadium. But it's not exactly intimidating. It's like a sort of a spaceship built in the middle of nowhere. It's very ultra modern, very unusual from the outside. But it's not like massively intimidating because the club itself is, it's not exactly a hotbed of support.
So anyway. Celtic already have an absolute mountain to climb if they're to progress. They're 2-0 down at home against Valencia. They have just conceded their second right at the start of the second half. Ruben Sobrino with that goal. Denis Cheryshev put Valencia in front early on. Chelsea, though, 1-0 up away from home against Malmo at halftime in their game. Ross Barkley scored the goal after half an hour. We're joined on the line by Shane Supple. Evening, Shane.
Evening, lads.
So it is the eve of the League of Ireland season. We will get onto that in just a moment, but we do want to talk to you about Declan Rice because you were in and around the Ireland squad the last time. Declan Rice was in and around the Ireland squad. What did you say to him?
Nothing. I actually didn't speak to Declan at all.
It was the unfriendliness of some of the people in the squad he mentioned.
Maybe it's because he was English. I didn't speak to him. I'm not sure.
It's a deep burn. It's a deep, deep burn. Was there? It's a hard topic to talk about because anything you say around the incidents at that time with Roy Keane and Harry Arthur and John Walters, they become this huge story. Like it does feel as though it may have been a perfect storm at that stage that England are starting to do something under Gareth Southgate at a World Cup and Ireland is an absolute mess. Like, was there anything you saw at the time that could suggest that was the case?
No, nothing at all. I said I was in and out of the camp a bit as well. We're playing for Bowes at the time, so I wasn't around when a lot of the stuff that apparently happened. So, but I wouldn't have said that Declan was getting itchy feet or looking to move on elsewhere. So.
Yeah, it's just massively disappointing, I guess, more than anything else when we're trying to look ahead to what's going to happen over the next little while. Let's talk League of Ireland then. It's all getting underway tomorrow night. You won't be involved. You're our Bohemians Player of the Year, but you've had to hang up the boots because of injury. Just 31. On a night like this, what are your emotions like?
I'd love to be going out and playing tomorrow night, but I'll be down there supporting the lads. I'm watching the game. I have a bit of work this year in the League of Ireland on the media side of things, so I'm going to be keeping my eye out on things and getting to as many games as possible as well, but it'll be completely different now for me. It won't be easy sitting there tomorrow night watching them. Definitely not.
We'll get you into studio hopefully over the next little while and chat about your career because there's so many interesting tangents to it from being involved with Dublin, from retiring early, coming back, playing League of Ireland, playing Leinster Senior League and all of that. So we might just talk actually what you think is going to happen this season because you say you've signed up with Air Sports, you're going to be part of their commentary team. What are you expecting this season? The big question mark obviously is how big a loss Stephen Kenny will be to Dundalk.
I actually don't think he'd be that big a loss, to be honest. I think with the guys that are there, the squad, they've kept together. I think a lot of the time that Dundalk team runs itself. They've a lot of great leaders in the group there as well. So, and again, Vinny coming in with Rory Higgins and Stevie O'Donnell sticking around, I don't think it's going to be a big transition for them as people might think.
Shane, you know, you would have been involved in countless games against Dundalk, and they are the clear favourites this year. I mean, you mentioned the players that they've kept. Like, what is it about them that's so good or so difficult to play against, or what sets them apart from the other sides in the league?
I just say they're so well drilled. Again, you know, from since Stephen's gone in there over the last 4 or 5 years, they've lost players, but they've managed to, you know, recruit well and get good guys in that have transitioned into the group seamlessly, you know. So, again, they're the most professional outfit within the league. When you play against them physically, you see that the difference coming up against them on a Friday night to some of the other teams in the league. That's the biggest thing I've noticed from playing Dundalk, and I think they've taken it to another level again. I know that some of the facilities they've improved upon in Oriel, maybe not the stand itself or the ground itself, but some of the work they've done for the players and, you know, making sure that they have everything they need to be the best on a Friday night, from what I'm hearing, is unbelievable for, you know, the League of Ireland football, I suppose.
Any sense from pre-season that Vinnie Perth is going to try and do anything majorly different from Stephen Kenny?
I don't really think so. I mean, they went for continuity. I mean, that was the word that was mentioned. They were very adamant that they didn't want to rock the boat too much. I mean, Shane alluded to it there. I mean, they have spent a fair bit of money on the day-to-day sort of training facilities behind the scenes. So when the players went back in on the first day, they were in a different environment. It wasn't like back to where we were before. And the manager that was there was gone. It was very much, here's some new and exciting stuff here that's going to make it a better place to go, as Shane mentioned. So I think formation-wise and stuff, I mean, I saw them playing Cork last week, to play the same 11 as the Cup final, pretty much the same purse, you know, similar approach, I guess. And I don't think there's going to be dramatic changes, but they have brought in some good players. Sean Murray, who was at Watford, Jordan Flores at Wigan, who apparently is very good. Very impressive.
Where does he play?
He's a midfielder. Sort of replace, like, he's wearing number 6. He's sort of a left-footed midfielder.
Stephen O'Donnell replacement.
I think some of the attributes, they seem to think he might share them. So they're going to be very strong. They're going to be very difficult to catch. But there are other teams that have made some good signings as well.
Yeah, who? Because I remember when we were maybe talking for an hour after the Cup final, this general sense of Cork was that they were cutting their wage bill. They were going to really struggle to make the investment in the squad to keep up that challenge, the excitement of the challenge that's been between Dundalk and Cork. Has that been the case over pre-season?
Yeah, they've probably lost a couple of players. I mean, Kieran Sadler has gone to Doncaster. Some of their long-serving players, sort of Stephen Beattie gone to America, Jimmy Keohane to Rochdale, likes of Johnny Dunleavy to Sligo. Actually, quite a few of them have left the league, though. And they've still been doing business in the last week. They've signed a guy on loan from Rochdale today. A guy from Gillingham, Liam Nash, could have been on Love Island a couple of years ago, went for pro football instead. Now he's ended up in League of Ireland. There you go. Can take it in any direction, life, really.
Thought there was a great pun coming there or something.
There wasn't. No, Love Island to Fote Island, you know.
Almost.
Another guy from Brighton as well. But they're a bit of an unknown quantity, maybe, in the attacking areas. It's more so Shamrock Rovers bringing in Jack Byrne. Such an exciting arrival. I spoke about a bit earlier this week, and Aaron McAniff from Derry, St Pat's bringing in Chris Forrester and Mikey Drennan, that maybe it might be the clubs in Dublin that also challenged Dundalk. I don't think Cork are going to go as far back as people think, but I think that maybe the Dublin clubs this year might actually push Dundalk a bit more than they have.
Jack Byrne and Chris Forrester are probably the two signings that people are getting most excited about, Shane. Like Jack Byrne in particular, when he was in and around the Ireland squad and he was over in Cambuur, and it felt as though he was destined for great things, and one thing and another stopped him. Like if he gets anywhere near that type of form, from what you saw from Shamrock Rovers last season, is it going to take a huge leap for them to put some pressure on Dundalk?
I think it's going to take a huge leap for anyone. I think looking at how things have progressed over the off-season, I think Shamrock Rovers are in the best position to possibly get close to Dundalk. I would say I'd have them down for second place this year. Definitely Dundalk, again, winning the league. Of all the other teams, a lot of transition in terms of management and players. Shamrock Rovers have added some really good players, especially in the middle of the park. With Aaron McAniff as well, I think he's the big one for me, for them, because he knows the league inside out, and you'd expect him to hit the ground running Jack Byrne, a lot of experience for such a young age. But again, League of Ireland football can be a different kettle of fish for a lot of the lads coming back from the UK. So it'll be interesting to see how he hits the ground running. But looking around the league, there's a lot of exciting players and technically very gifted players. So hopefully that proves true when the league kicks off tomorrow night.
From your experience of it and from what you've seen of players who've come back from England into the League of Ireland, what is the one thing they struggle with?
I think how physical the league is one of the biggest things. A lot of the guys that have come back probably haven't played men's football, played 23s, academy football over in the UK, so they haven't had that experience of playing against, you know, men week in, week out, and playing for points when they actually matter on a Friday night. So, and fans as well there that are demanding and expecting results. So I think there's a combination of things, but definitely the physicality of the league is one thing I think lads struggle with coming back from the UK.
How do you feel about Bowes then, Shane? I mean, they have brought in a lot of people in that category that you've just mentioned because they lost the experience of yourself and, you know, Ian Morris and you know, others, and, you know, Dan Casey to Cork and so on. I mean, their recruitment has been heavy in terms of bringing lads home. I mean, is that just a natural gamble they have to take in their situation?
Yeah, I think so. I think everyone's aware of the last couple of years with the budget that Keith's working off down there and some of the rabbits he has to pull out of his hat, you know, every year, and he's had to do it again this year. I was listening to the podcast earlier on and Ian Morris was alluding to that, you know, back on the back end of last season and the run we went on, and you're looking at building for next year, and finally maybe we're able to, you know, keep everyone and add a couple of lads to the squad and really kick on and push for Europe. And then obviously a few lads have retired and gone on to other clubs, and, you know, that they feel they're going to progress there rather than staying at Bowes maybe. And it's just disappointing, definitely from Keith Long's point of view and Trevor's, the work they put in. It's just starting afresh, and you just don't know. Again, pre-season, you're not sure. I've seen some of the results in that, and you just don't know what's going to happen for Bowes this year. And I hope they'll be okay, but you're looking at the players they brought in. Not a lot of experience there at all, apart from the likes of Derek Pender, who's still around, and Keith Buckley, and you're looking to those lads to step up. Derek always does. Keith Buckley now this year, it's a big year for him to step up and fill some of the roles that lads, you know, have left behind.
Shane, like, you've just stepped out of the league, but I mean, you're obviously still very interested and sort of passionate about it. I mean, where do you feel the league is at now generally? Because as players or ex-players, you're probably listening to some of the debates that have gone on in recent weeks about maybe Niall Quinn's plans, maybe will the clubs be running the league next year, because we're not really sure where things stand with the FAI. How do you feel generally about this debate that's going on, and what would you like to see happen this year aside from whatever happens on the pitch?
I just love to see something concrete happen, really. And, you know, all this talk of this is going to happen and this person, these people are getting involved and we're going to have this and we're going to break away from the FAI and everything's going to be great. I just love to have something, you know, concrete that's been really thought out and strategically planned, you know, that we can move on, because we're not, sometimes you think we're miles away. I think the players, the quality in the league is definitely getting better. Facilities are miles behind. That's one area we need to improve. It's going to take money. Development of players is definitely getting better, and the new structures coming in for underage is only going to help, I feel, and lads staying here longer before going across to the UK is only going to benefit, you know, Irish football in general, I think. But I'd just love to see someone come in with a genuine plan that they've looked into and done their homework on, and the right people involved, and it's not all, you know, bells and whistles and no knickers, you know.
What is the most common complaint then that you found last season within the dressing room from players in the league? What they would actually like to see that would benefit them?
I'd love to see lads paid 52 weeks a year. It would definitely be one thing, I think, for guys, and that uncertainty coming to the end of the season. You know, when you just don't know where you're going to be at. Are you going to make it to Christmas? I think that would be definitely one side I'd like to see. Again, facilities, I'd love to see them improved. That's one thing. You go to certain grounds around the country, and Bowes is one. It's got a lot of history, and I love the place, but it definitely needs a, you know, a facelift and so many grounds around. And I think that would help attract people in and maybe investment as well into clubs when we've got better facilities like that. And you can bring the kids and, you know, the family on a Friday night. I think that's one deterrent at the moment.
It's coming for Daily Mount, though, isn't it?
Right, it is coming for Daily. Although Shane was previously nostalgic and didn't want Daily Mount to be changed, but maybe now he's just getting a bit older and more mature and he wants somewhere comfortable to sit when he goes to a match, you know?
Well, that's, premium seats or something like that maybe would be doing me nicely.
A sort of Manchester City-style tunnel club or something.
Just rest his hip there, you know, rest his body as he goes
it's
through.
It's perfectly understandable. So are you both very much together on Dundalk to retain the title?
Well, I still think they're rock solid, yeah. I find it hard to see who can get enough points to overtake them.
Mm. Goal scoring wise, and looking at teams who can... So Dundalk, they haven't lost any players. They've kept Pat Hooban. There's a recognised goal scorer there. Of the other contenders, do they have them?
Yeah, I mean, Mikey Drennan's gone to St Pat's, and that's going to be an interesting one because he was at Aston Villa when he was younger at that time when we had that big Villa, Irish contingent in Villa, and Graham Burke, and you know, quite a few of them, they've just had to take a few steps back. Now, Mikey obviously has spoken about depression and you know, more serious issues that he struggled with when he came back from England and towards the end of his time in England. He took his time away from football, went back with his mates in Kilkenny hurling, but then came back to Sligo Rovers last year, looked to be just getting his mojo back towards the end of the season. I think Cork wanted him, other clubs wanted him, but St Pat's did get him. And I think if they are going to make a step forward this year, you know, he could be central to it because there is a dearth of really good goal scorers, like real 20 goal a season strikers. And he has to prove he can do it. But if he's fully right, I think he's got a good chance.
All right. Good stuff, Dan. Shane, thank you as well. Best of luck with the new gig with Ayr.
Thanks very much, lads.
We'll talk to you again soon. Shane Supple there looking ahead to the new League of Ireland season. Where are you tomorrow night?
Dundalk at home to Sligo tomorrow, yeah.
Very good. Enjoy that. You'll be back with us on Saturday as well. And Johnny will be in studio, so I'm sure we're going to be chatting lots of League of Ireland. Then also, Kev is going to join us, though, in studio in just a couple of moments' time.
Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
Welcome back to Thursday's football show. Kevin Kilbane has joined us in studio. How are you?
I'm great, yeah, very good.
Dan McDonald is still here as well. You'll notice we have our Coca-Cola cans in studio as well on the football show now. They're the new soft drink partner of the Premier League. Check out their great new ad on Twitter and Instagram to celebrate. We're giving away tickets to Premier League games of your choice later this month. So make sure to listen in to be in with a chance of winning. I once won something from Coca-Cola.
Because like, well, you've wanted to tell us a story
not,
all day.
Not what I wanted, but I won actually several things from Coca-Cola. So back in 1998, Coca-Cola were sponsoring the FIFA World Cup in France. Mm-hmm. And they had a competition to be a mascot in the World Cup final. Now, I was 16, so it would have been a little bit awkward, but listen, it's the World Cup final. Anyway, to get in, I didn't have a beard at the time, I was very young looking.
Were you late? Did you develop later? Or?
Not that late.
Yeah, okay.
Not that late.
Well, what happened?
So the competition was, you had to guess or find out how many cans of Coke it would take to get from the Stade de France to the moon.
Ooh.
It was a guess.
Well, they say it was a guess.
I mean, just I think guessing would be the main...
Or you could just work out what the distance was and what the size of a can of Coke is and do the maths. And obviously I was some sort of a maths whiz kid, but also I was smart. So I realised that maybe they wouldn't have the exact answer. So I entered about 10 times with 10 different answers from basically one the exact answer and then one off up and down by five. Turns out, I got the right answer. I think there were 16 trips, but 30 people got the right answer, and I was one of the 14 who didn't get to be the mascot. But because
maybe,
I got...
Maybe the other ones were children.
there is that. But because I got one of the closest, and I had all these different entries, one afternoon to my house in Ballyhaunas arrives 8 different packages of Coca-Cola goodies. So I had 8 crates of Coke, 8 Coke footballs, 8 Coke t-shirts. It was a great day.
You're a big cheese round.
Well, no, I was just so angry that I hadn't actually won the trip to the World Cup final. I couldn't fully appreciate it at the time.
Yeah, no.
So I'm just saying, there's a competition going for a trip to Premier League game or maybe future big tournaments.
Does it exist?
Maybe I'm deserving. No, it definitely exists, Kev.
Does it?
Definitely exists. How are you?
I'm great, yeah.
How's your Twitter feed?
I remember the ones from, do you remember the ones, you're probably a bit too young, ones from Italian 90, the little mini footballs you used to get. Was it five cans of Coke or something? You collect the lids, I think, and you get a can of Coke, get a little miniature football. So you used to play under the little benches at school. They were, size one footballs, I think they were, the little ones?
Oh, yeah.
With the little mascot from Italian 90 on it as well.
Everything of beauty, because you could play with them inside.
Yeah,
you
class.
You could play up and down your hall.
I remember the milk bottles from Italian 90.
Oh, yeah.
Not great for product placement here, obviously, but, you know, if we were sponsored by some kind of milk-based company...
Coca-Cola hadn't paid us for this extra little bit of promotion either.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's just there.
I think we had one of these. I might have one of those Italian 90...
Yeah, we found one recently, sort of...
Oh, they were
class. Yeah, sort of true moving house, a couple of them popped up, yeah, so...
Let us know of your other great pieces of...
Italian 90
sponsored
tass.
Memorabilia.
Italian 90
Coca-Cola,
tass,
preferably. That's a great way... Oh, wait a second. JP's telling me it's right behind me. The orange thing right behind me. The big orange. This.
That's not it.
Oh, sorry. This thing from Paul Howard that he sent in. That's not the milk bottle. That's not a milk bottle, JP.
No.
That's a...
People on radio, springy, I mean, how do you describe what they
actually have? It's a springy-looking sort of tomato-type figure.
Yeah.
Well, saffron.
Which I'm going to guess was maybe from Mexico 86 or Spain 82.
Possibly.
Yeah. I'd say Spain 82.
Is it? Yeah.
A Spanish vibe. Is it an orange or is it a tomato? It's an orange, JP tells us. All right, looks a bit like a tomato.
Right.
Anyway.
Well, great. Took a turn.
Can we just talk about Coca-Cola and where
anything else are you going to be talking about this week?
Nothing else really has happened of note. Oh, there we are. Burn. If you're a proud Englishman, then why don't you play for us in the first place? 2,000 retweets, 15,000 likes. So I'm just thinking the population is about 5 million. I reckon that's about what? One in every... 300 Irish people have liked that tweet.
And I see there's around 1,200 replies.
Yeah. 1,200 replies.
How many of them have you read? And how many of them have...
I haven't read a lot.
How many of them have West Ham crests?
There's a lot that I kind of came off Twitter. I didn't come off Twitter. I just kind of was off working and things like that. And I went back on this morning. No, not at all. And then I did notice that there was a lot of tweets from West Ham fans.
I'm sure they're very reasonable.
No, that's
a well thought out argument you make there, Kevin. Thank you for your input to the Declan Rice situation.
West Ham fans are very relaxed. I mean, I'm sure if Declan Rice ever decides to leave West Ham for another club because it's better for his career, I'm sure they'll be chilled about the whole situation. I mean, listen, why wouldn't he want to play in more?
Exactly.
Why wouldn't he want to play in the Champions League?
Well, no, exactly. And the decision to make, I never would have thought I'd be put in that position. I don't think that's what that was.
He could release a similar statement, to be honest.
Yeah, exactly. Just
a very similar statement.
Change a few of the things, letter in, or a few of the words that's in the statement. And
you're particularly annoyed about the line, "I am a proud Englishman."
What, are you not? I'm not being funny. I was listening to the lads last night when you were on. I heard you talking to Gary and Joe, and Joe would. Joe, I think Joe even misinterpreted saying, he was more or less saying, "I'm a proud English and a proud Irishman." He never mentioned once being a proud Irishman. He mentioned about his heritage.
Yes.
Didn't mention being a proud Irishman.
There was a line about an affinity to both Ireland and England, or love.
I have equal respect for both England and Ireland, and therefore the national team I chose to represent is not a clear-cut, simple selection. He says, "I'm a proud Englishman, having been born and raised in London. However, I am just as proud of my family's Irish heritage and my affinity and connection with the country."
Well, you see, that's well written, isn't it? It's a great, great piece. I don't know how long it would have taken to proofread that, but yeah.
What's wrong with that?
I think we're reading a lot into the state. I think, are we reading a lot into the state?
No, exactly.
It's all we have to read into.
No, I know, but I think
it's very polished, isn't it? Let's be honest. It's a very polished statement, and it's a lot of nonsense. That's what it is. So that's the way that I read it.
You're happy he's gone, Kev?
I'm happy it's sorted. Actually, 6 months ago, I wouldn't have picked him again. I genuinely stand by that.
So in that context, are you happy that... I mean, if he had announced yesterday that he was coming back, I'm sensing you would have felt a bit uneasy.
Without a doubt. And I'm sure that there would have been players in the squad that would have been uneasy as well. They wouldn't say it openly, but I would have been.
Do you?
Yeah, definitely. 100%. 100%. Definitely. And I know one or two of the players in there, and I know that there would have been, definitely.
Well, there's also players who clearly weren't uneasy. David Myler, within a minute of Declan Rice putting out this statement, sent a tweet saying, "Listen, best of luck, see you around," type thing, which he quickly deleted when he realised that he too was getting about 1,200 responses.
Oh, really? Oh, and his I actually next, missed that
his,
now. Yeah.
His next tweet was, "Obviously everybody doesn't agree with me."
No.
But what you
they're FIFA buddies, I think.
How can anybody be accepting of that line? when you say that I'm a very proud Englishman. If he had said,
I'm a proud Englishman and a proud Irishman, would
no,
that have
he should
made
have just taken that line cleanly out of that statement.
But he is a proud Englishman.
Yeah, well,
he was born and raised in England.
Clearly he's a proud Englishman. Well, he shouldn't play for us then. That's my point. Don't play for us if you're a proud Englishman. Why come and play for us in the first place? Why?
But how do we know Michael Obafemi isn't a proud Englishman?
Oh, well, we'll see then, won't we? We'll see.
But he could be a proud Englishman. He could be proud of his Nigerian heritage. He could be proud of being born in Ireland.
Yeah, well,
it doesn't make any difference. The only difference is he's played a competitive game.
Yeah, but honestly, no matter how we go around in circles all day on this, right? We will do, and we've probably gone around in circles for 6 months on it, because as soon as he declined that call up, then that was it. It was gone in my mind as it is. He was never going to change his decision, was he? Let's be fair on that. But you're making a statement like you're a proud Englishman, you're coming to play for Ireland, and you're standing there, you're singing the national anthem with pride, you're kissing the badge with pride. It doesn't. How can you do that? You can't do that. Knowing full well that he's talked about his family heritage and where and what his grandparents have come from, what they've meant to him, everything within that. It can never ever just come down to you saying, I'm an Englishman now. I kind of like playing for Ireland because it suited my needs at that particular time. You think of all the players that have come through the system here and what it means to them. I understand that when I first probably came into the 21 squad, there'd have been a lot of people within that setup or around in the 21 setup when I was there that would have been uneasy with me. Who's this guy coming to take my shirt? Who's this guy? Yet he's taken the shirt and now he's kind of shit all over it further on down the line.
Kev, is your issue with the concept? I mean, do you understand like the concept that someone could feel both ways, you know, that someone could feel English and Irish? Is your issue with is it his previous comments and his previous actions?
Of course it is.
That's what it is.
Of course it is.
But that would be interpreted in some ways, like your views have been interpreted in some ways as people thinking that you don't embrace the concept that people can feel.
You're either English or you're Irish.
Well, but you know who you are when you get picked for a certain side. You can't actually then turn round and say, I'm not Irish anymore.
But not
I'm
everybody
sorry.
Does. That, like the Michael Obafemi example is going to become far more common over the coming years, where I think a lot of the people that we have welcomed to this country from various parts of the world,
of course,
we want them to feel Irish, but if they want to feel Nigerian as well, or whatever other country they're from, surely that's okay. They don't need to go, just because they line out for Ireland, I am now 100% Irish and I'm no longer a proud Englishman, or a proud Nigerian, or a proud South African, or a proud Polish person. Where do you draw the line?
No, but that's not the point, though, is it, Nathan? If someone who was playing for Ireland, like Michael Obafemi, would not come out and make a statement now that I'm a proud Englishman, he wouldn't make that statement, because now he is essentially an Irishman that's part of the system that's playing for our side. But he has actually done exactly the same. He's got more caps than Michael Obafemi. He's got more caps than a lot of Irishmen that have come through the system. And now, all of a sudden, because that opportunity has come to him to go and switch allegiances, he's gone and done that.
But he's not the first to switch allegiances.
I don't agree with it at all. Shane Duffy was on the bench
for a senior international, and I understand the situation is very different between the Republic of Ireland and Northern Ireland, but he was on the bench for a senior international for Northern Ireland. If Nigel Worthington had decided 10 years ago to bring him off the bench, he would have played for Northern Ireland. Now, he could have still changed because it was a friendly. But does your opinion on Shane Duffy
differ whether he had
played 1 minute in that game or stayed on the bench?
There's a lot of differences between it, isn't there? That obviously, things changed politically 10, 15, 20 years ago, whenever it was. Everything's changed politically within that as well. He's come through a system up there where there was only hope for him to play for Northern Ireland at schoolboy level. Then he's in the system. You're in the system. He would have grown up, then getting to a stage where he's obviously becoming more mature and he's starting to progress and he's thinking in his own head, right, well, where have I seen myself growing up? I'm an Irishman, essentially. I want to play for Ireland. I've supported the Republic of Ireland through my youth, through my development. I want to play for Ireland because I am essentially an Irishman. I'm an Irishman. That's what I want to play for. That's his right to. This is very, very different from that because he has actually gone through our system. He's played at senior international level and then changed over.
I'm saying it's not that different because Duffy went through their underage system and was involved with their senior team.
But this is coming back to words and actions in some way. I think it all comes back to words and actions. I think the comparison with the players who played the Northern Irish system, that stands up. That's why I have no sympathy for the FAI in this position, because they play the games they play the game the same as anybody else. However, I mean, the difference is, I mean, Shane Duffy didn't sing God Save the Queen, didn't speak about how much it meant to him to be called up for Northern Ireland, and sort of, you know, tugged the heartstrings in some degree in terms of what he said. Now, I still believe that Declan Rice was sincere in some of, you know, in probably a lot of things that he said about that it did mean something to his family that he was involved. So I think that's where the comparison is slightly different between McLean and Duffy. I mean, they were never speaking about their love for Northern Ireland. They used the system. The question is, did Rice use the Irish system?
Listen to Gary Breen last night, and I agree with him 100%. When you sign your first professional contract, you should know where you are. It should actually be almost set in stone at that time. That's the way I see it, and that's the way it is. You know then when you're growing up who you want to play for.
But does that... In a way, I agree with you on that there should come an earlier point where you have to make a decision. But that works for Ireland's case, and it probably works for some of the smaller countries. You would worry, say, what a country like France might do, who so many of the young players growing up in France who end up playing for their home countries, playing for countries in Africa, who you'd worry that France suddenly start capping 50 players at under 18 level that are never going to get to play for their senior team just to hoover up all the talent.
Yeah.
At a very young age.
Well, that's what...
There's a bit of that happening now. Even with the English FA in terms of how they're now more active. I mean, the English FA were asleep at the wheel for years when it came to this topic. I mean, the point that you make about someone writing on a form, I sort of find myself agreeing with it, but at the flip side of that is... The argument is, I mean, there's a lot of people then who will never get to play international football at all. You know, and I know you're saying,
right? So
they don't feel
like,
that way.
Okay, right. So if I'm 24 years of age, I've not played for any country, and all of a sudden I start to progress and do well, and I get called up by England. I honestly couldn't have stood there and listened to the national anthem and as I say, have that pride that's within you. Half of the pride when you're playing for your country is listening to the anthem, knowing what it means to you and your family. That's half of it. Now, you're taking all that out of it. And I know, and again, it may be something that Gary said last night, and maybe I'm a total romantic in that respect, and I get that. I know that a lot of people don't feel like me in that respect. But in my mind, is how it is. When you're growing up, you should play for the country that you actually see the flag, listen to the anthem, and everything that entails, because that is what's within you. That's what it means to play for that country. I don't necessarily think because somebody comes and moves over, say someone came over and moved to England, and because they've moved to England, they were born in Australia, wherever it was, then they can qualify to play for Northern Ireland, for Scotland, for Wales, for England, or whoever it would be. There's no allegiance to the country. There is absolutely nothing within that. The rule states you can play, brilliant. Do I want to get on board with our rugby side where we're actually just nationalising people that have been in the country for 3 or 4 years? No, I do not. They're not Irish, so why are they playing for our country? That's the way that it is. That's the way that I think. I can't change my mind on that. It's how I was brought up from a boy. So I don't know what you want me to say here. Yes, I understand that people have different opinions from me and people think differently from me. I'm not going to change my mind on it and get on board with that statement that Declan Rice has made, that I'm a proud Englishman. I can't get on board with that because it's total rubbish. It is total rubbish. In my mind, that's the way that I feel on it.
Well, that's fair enough.
Yeah.
Gary said last night, and this will probably, maybe it will be an issue going forward, or maybe everyone just forgets about it and moves on with their lives until it crops up again, he said it shouldn't be used as an audition, that Declan Rice playing at underage level, it makes a mockery of playing from underage group. Like, I guess that's not Declan Rice's problem. It's the FAI's problem. And it's not a case of us just accommodating second, third generation Irish players. The FAI are actively going out trying to recruit second
years.
And that's third generation players.
So this is
going to crop up again.
Yeah.
This is going to be an issue again.
I mean, there's a young kid at West Ham who's been on the bench in the last couple of weeks called Connor Coventry. He was on the bench for a couple of FA Cup games and he's been on the fringes. I mean, he was Irish under-19 player of the year. He's English born. You know, he seems to be well regarded at West Ham. And like, as I said, the problem is because of what's happened with Rice and with Grealish, that there's going to be scepticism around every single, like, unless they, you know, no matter what they come out and say, there's always going to be this belief that
The squad themselves, you were looking at me like I had two heads before when I mentioned about the people within the squad that will be pissed off with this. I've been in there. And I can tell you now, every one of the players, when I was part of that squad, when you had a lad come in, I might hang fire on that, were pissed off at it. Every single one of them that were in the squad. And I doubt it's changed. It's only 8 years later.
Mm.
It hasn't changed. And if it has changed, I'd be very, very surprised. Really, really surprised. That as soon as Declan Rice has turned down the chance to go and play alongside those players, that he would be welcomed back 100% within that side. Because in the back of your mind, you've got someone who was willing to jump ship. That's what it is. And he has jumped ship now. Thanks very much. On you go. I've got no problem. Everyone thinks that there's no problem in my mind, for him declaring for England. I couldn't give a toss about that. I really couldn't. It's no issue to me, that. But the problem being is that he has, as you say, used the shirt, auditioned for better things by playing for us. And, yeah, under-21s, I understand it to an extent, maybe at 18s, 19s, or whatever it would be. But when you're getting under-21 level, you know. Certainly when you get into senior level, it shouldn't even be... You shouldn't even be talked about. That's it. The rule has to change, simply has to change, in my mind, because it's a farce.
There's nothing to suggest, though, then, that the rule is going to change. In fact, if anything, the rules may become even more lax.
Yeah, I mean, there's different views on this. I think I see Miguel right in his piece suggesting it should be even more flexible to some degree. And there's a variety of different opinions out there in this. I mean, you go back in time and you had the example, was it Tim Cahill, who played one game, was it for...
He could have played for us as well.
Yeah, he could have played for Ireland, and he played...
He's over in England on a British
passport. Yeah, yeah, and he played...
On an Irish passport,
I feel this. I should know the name of the country he played for initially. Was it one of the Samoan...
Yeah, yeah.
And then he... And that was an issue, but basically he was able to... He was able to go and play for Australia.
Well, that was about under 14 level, though.
Yeah, I think the switching around. I mean, I think there's ways it could be tightened up, but I think it's unlikely. I'd like to think even competitive under 21 or something that there could be some kind of the cut off. But like, I do think that, you know, the profile. You know, is there a difference? And you tell me, like, you know, there's a first generation Irish and there's a second generation Irish, and there's the London community that Declan Rice grew up in and his parents, it would have been a very different one to the one that you probably would have, the Irish community definitely. You would have grown up in. And as I said it yesterday, we'll know people or friends or you know, who might be you know, an Irish husband and English wife or vice versa, and the complication of their identity, it's a complex situation. And maybe at 16, 17, they may not know who they are as much as you did, you know, as much as you were shaped by your own life experiences. And everyone is different. But I, at the same time, I'm not giving them a pass at all. I don't like how it's being conducted, you know, in any way. But I mean, I'm sorry, we're sort of going back to the same point. The rules probably aren't going to change.
It is different.
They're short, but
it
they
is different from Declan Rice clearly. Obviously thinks different from me. Of course he does, and Gary and people like this. I understand that. That's not that. I think that's probably not the issue. Probably we maybe shouldn't be targeting lads that have got one Irish granny or grandfather, whoever it would be. Maybe we shouldn't be doing that. I understand it's there. They exploit the rule. We have exploited.
Everybody
the
else is doing it though. So
yeah,
you're
I know
putting
that.
Yourself at a disadvantage.
Well, I know that. I know that. But it leads to this. And people can say about the Northern Ireland issue, but. I don't know. This is very different because of how Declan Rice has spoke. You can't tell me that James McLean or Shane Duffy, the only thing that they wanted to do when they were 6 and 7 years of age, when they were running around the house, they'd been running around the shirts, running around the house in an Irish shirt, in a Republic of Ireland shirt. That's what they would have been doing. And that this is very different. It is very different. No matter how you try and. Yeah, try and break it down, it's very different.
I don't think anyone has too much sympathy for Declan Rice in all of this, but. In one way, what you're talking about there, like 15, 16, he may well have been quite shocked with what's developed over the past year, that he did make a decision at 15, 16 to come over, see how it would go, not thinking that within 3 years we were going to be pinning our footballing hopes for the next decade on his shoulders.
Yeah, I know. I guess so. I mean, I don't know what. I mean, we're sort of questioning the belief that he had in himself here. I mean, did he know he surprised himself that he's a very good player? Like, I mean, once he went to Turkey last year. I mean, I think like it's his comments. There's the actions and there's the comments and some of the comments he made around the Turkey.
I personally, I wasn't pinning my hopes when he played in his first international against Turkey, wasn't he? I wasn't pinning my hopes on that.
I remember you had a tweet at some point. I think you actually at one point you thought he was very much on board. I remember you were saying you can't change who you are.
Exactly.
Words to that effect.
What he'd said, but I want him to have, but I've seen 100 Declan Rices at every stage of my development, and it's no disrespect to Declan Rice. He's a fantastic footballer, and I'm sure he will go on and have a fabulous career. But who's to say in 2 years' time where he's going to be? So that's why you can never pin your hopes on a 19-year-old boy that he's going to go on and have the success he's going to have. It's far too early for us to be making that suggestion.
I'll tell you, if he was faking it, he's an unbelievable actor, because watching back some of his interviews with Tony O'Donoghue on RTE last night when he was in the camp, like he seemed genuine. He seemed as genuine as could be.
I remember him in Fault Island when he was caught, and it was actually referenced in the statement, and it was another thing in the statement. It's one of these things where he says, in the context of, I couldn't have expected how quickly things would have happened. He mentions how he made his Premier League debut and he was in an international squad 2 days later, as though the scale of the Irish thing surprised them too, right, to some degree. And you're sort of reading between the lines, and every line was thought out. But I remember we played for 21s in Tala last year after the Turkey game. I remember seeing him coming out of the dressing room. His dad was there. Mark O'Toole was there, the FAI talent scout, who basically sourced him when he was at Low Ebb, you know. And they had a very emotional embrace. And anyone who watched that scene would have believed it was the real deal. Anyone who watched that scene would have believed, yeah, this means a lot.
Nobody can prepare you for the scrutiny that you're under as soon as you get into the under 21 and the senior international setup. You're not ready for it, I don't think. You know, some people can handle it better than others, and when all of a sudden you're having nobody talking about you to everybody talking about you, it causes different sort of mental issues within your own head. I think it's difficult. No matter what anybody says, you want that, you dream of that, but you don't necessarily realise what actually is going to come with that when you make your international debut. And that's what he's had. He's had so much scrutiny on him. There's a lot of ill feeling towards him. Of course, we wish him all the best, but he should have just put it to bed 6 months ago. When the rule is the rule, yes, I understand that. But as soon as he said, look, I'm thinking about England, it was done. It was done. Why were we?
Do you really think it was done then? He was done then in terms of his decision?
I do, because as soon as you've had your head turned, I'm sure there's been guarantees to him. He said at the end of that statement that, of course, there's no guarantees about my England future. But Gareth Southgate has told him, look, you're going to be in the squad. He's done it with players that aren't playing to the level that Declan Rice is. He's brought them in. So Declan Rice will be in the England squad.
Do you think it was a perfect storm last June with all the nonsense that was going on around the Ireland squad at the time? Well, England, this vibrant, young, exciting England teamer, achieving at the World Cup finals, and then Gareth Southgate comes looking.
He changed his agent last summer too. You can't underestimate that.
Do you know who his agent is now? Who he is, Dan? Has he got links to any of the other England players?
I know the name of the agent. Like, the agent is Neil Fewings, is his name.
Right.
And he would have. It's funny. Danny Murphy came out a couple of weeks ago and spoke very strongly about Rice going away, and I think Murphy would have been represented by Fewings.
Well, Danny Murphy himself has got a similar Irish background to Declan Rice. His grandparents are Irish. He could have played for us, but he doesn't see himself as Irish. Wanted to play for England. That's where he was. So. Yeah. That's the thing. Would Danny Murphy have been in a different position if he hadn't been called up at England at youth level? Would he have taken that? No, he probably would have done. There have been many that have done that. But I spoke, when I was on with Keith a few months ago talking about this very issue, it sits, I'm very uncomfortable, and I have been throughout my international career when lads have come in, and Gary was talking about last night, who did you support in Euro 88? Who did you support in Italia 90? It is a bugbearer. It is, and I can't get away from that. It has been. I've sat very uncomfortable with lads that are getting a cap when they don't necessarily see or haven't necessarily seen themselves as being Irish and supporting the team. That's where I am.
We'll leave it at that. Maybe stay off Twitter for another couple of days. By the way, Kev is going to be back on the show next Monday. That is the 18th of February. We're going to be live from the National Concert Hall, building up to Liverpool against Bayern Munich in the company of Graeme Souness, Niall Quinn, Brian Kerr and Kev. We're going to be discussing the Champions League and asking whether Liverpool can sustain their bid for the Premier League title. Tickets are very limited, but they are available right now for free on offtheball.com/events. You'll need to download them onto your phone or print them off, and you have to be over 18 as well. That is Off The Ball live from the National Concert Hall next Monday, February 18th, in association with Virgin Media Sport.
Football on Off The Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.